continue with Words for Life, a series of Christian sermons by ministers in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. Today our speaker is Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church.
Well, back in the 1980s, and the 1980s seems a long time ago now for me. Might seem even longer ago for you. But back in the 1980s, there was a band that I became quite familiar with called Real Life. And it was best known for its hit song, Send Me an Angel. But I wasn't familiar with this band because I was a fan of it. But I became familiar with this band because their lead singer was called David Sterry. There's not exactly a whole lot of David Sterrys going around. So this was quite fascinating to me to discover that the lead singer of this band was David Sterry, and I actually found myself receiving phone calls from fans. Wasn't about me. It wasn't me they were looking for. It was the other David Sterry. But we all actually are a part of Real Life. This band was called Real Life, but we all are a part of Real Life. Not the band, but the experience. And finding and following Jesus is lived out in the midst of real life. It is lived out in the midst of all the messiness and brokenness of life in this world. None of us are immune from the realities of this. Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, wasn't. I'm not, and neither are you. And so today, as we begin this series from 2 Corinthians called Keeping It Real, we're using that as the overall title of the series, not just because there's much in 2 Corinthians about living out our faith in the midst of real life, but because of the authentic nature of Paul in 2 Corinthians in addressing issues of life and faith for us. In fact, if you had to sum up the message of 2 Corinthians as a whole, it's about authentic and real Christianity and discipleship. A little bit of background first, though. 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Paul actually wrote four letters to the church at Corinth. Two of them are in the Bible, 1 and 2 Corinthians. The other two are not in the Bible, but they were nevertheless real letters that were written to the church at Corinth by Paul. 1 Corinthians focuses on issues that the church was facing, and some teaching specifically mainly focuses on teaching related to that. 2 Corinthians has a different emphasis, though. It's much more personal, it's much more profound, and in a lot of ways it's even more painful as Paul speaks into what are real issues of life and faith. And what we read in the opening two verses, as Dorothy just read them to us, set the tone. Verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are what Paul begins with. Now, Paul begins a lot of his letters with grace and peace. But what is, these are more than just words. These are significant things that Paul is identifying right from the start here, significant words that he's using. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does he focus on these two things? Because grace and peace are two things that we need a never-ending supply of in the midst of the messiness of real life. Grace, God's grace, and grace shown to one another is at the heart both of the Christian message and the Christian life. But alongside that, so is peace. God's peace, no matter what the pathway of life and faith involves. And 2 Corinthians speaks into the living out of our faith in the midst of real life. It doesn't so much teach us on how to go to heaven, but it teaches us on how to handle life as a follower of Jesus. And grace and peace are essential ingredients in that recipe. But in the verses that Dorothy read to us, the verses that we're focusing on today, we see the significant place of three things in both life and faith. Firstly, the significant place of loss and grief. Losing important functional parts of our lives like phones and keys can inconvenience us, can happen, It can happen regularly, more often than we want sometimes. But typically these things are misplaced. They're not lost. And they might inconvenience us, but even if they're lost, they can be replaced. More significant losses, though, impact our life and faith much more. We can grieve losses that come as a part of the aging process. You can grieve losses that come through life's transitions in through life's different stages. You can grieve the loss of loved ones. You can grieve the loss of relationships. You can grieve the loss of health or a particular thing in your life. You can grieve the loss of a livelihood. You can grieve the loss of a changed life situation and much, much more. Certainly out of the pandemic over recent years, there has been much to grieve in our wider world. But in each of our own worlds too, with or without the pandemic, there will be things that each of us will have lost in life or in faith. Significant things that we grieve the loss of that come under the category of what Paul describes here in verse 4 as life's troubles. He says in verse 3 and into verse 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Paul describes the things that come our way in life and faith as troubles. And I wonder today, what might you be grieving the loss of in your life or faith journey? It's really important to make room for grief and loss in our discipleship. It's really important to have a theology that isn't just focused on life and faith being a bed of roses, but that equally recognises the place of the thorns in life and faith and the impact of them on us. In the gospel story, and indeed the God story throughout the Bible, loss and grief or troubles occupy a significant place. From the Psalms, where the psalm writers lament the loss of so much in their journey of life and faith, and Psalm 42 is just one example of that, where the psalm writer says in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." So the psalm writer is seeking after God. The psalm writer is wanting to know God more. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." But then alongside that, the psalm writer says, "My tears have been my food day and night." So the psalm writer, even in the midst of seeking God, is doing so out of a place of grief and loss, doing so out of a place where life has not unfolded the way that they thought it would, where things have taken twists and turns, where their faith has been challenged and even rattled. But in the midst of that, they seek God and come back to who God is. And then as we think of Jesus himself, on whom was placed a crown of thorns, loss and grief has a significant place in the journey of discipleship, in the journey of life and faith. What thorns of life, what sufferings, what troubles, what loss and grief have been, or are at the moment even, a very real part of your life and faith journey, I wonder. Alongside beds of roses. There will be beds of roses there in our lives which speak of the things that are beautiful, the things that are wonderful, the things that that bring us great joy and that we celebrate, the things that are all that we would hope for them to be. But the reality is, alongside that, there will also be thorns of life. Here in verse 5, goes on to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." It doesn't say if the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. It says just as they do. And that's really significant. It says they do, not if they do. In the midst of the significant place of loss and grief in life and faith, though, remember, let me encourage you to remember, with each of the points we're making today, it's important to remember. And in recognizing the significant place of loss and grief, remember what God went through for you. That God himself experienced the ultimate in loss and grief. Separated from his son Jesus, who took upon himself the sins of the world at the cross, showed the depth of his love for us. We who had broken not only our relationship with God, but who had broken God's heart when we made choices to live life our way instead of God's way. Choices that the Bible describes as sin. But while the place of loss and grief is significant in life and faith, so too is the reality of God's comfort and compassion. What do we read here in verses 3 to 5 as I read them again to you? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is what? Who is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Who does what? Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Now, it describes here, it begins by describing the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now, you need to understand that to the Jewish people, the phrase "father of" means originator or source of. So when Paul here says that God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, he's indicating that comfort and compassion originate from and are found above all else in God. In the midst of life's losses and grief, in the midst of life's troubles, where do you turn for comfort, I wonder? Perhaps you go to a special place. Perhaps you turn to a special food. That's where the term comfort food comes from. For a lot of people, it might be chocolate, but it doesn't matter what it is. The term comfort food actually speaks of that. But how significant in life and faith it is to be able to turn above all to God, from whom we can receive comfort and compassion like no one or nowhere else. And the word in the original language here for comfort means to come alongside and help. In other words, in the midst of whatever loss or grief you might be facing or dealing with in your life, in the midst of whatever troubles might be your experience on the pathway of life or faith, remember what God is to you. Remember that God is someone who comes alongside to help. God is the comforter, as John describes the Spirit of God as in John's Gospel, the God of comfort and compassion. The place, the significant place of grief and loss in the journey of life and faith, the significant place alongside that of God's comfort and compassion in the journey of life and faith. Thirdly and finally today, we see that the place of community is significant in life and faith as well out of these verses. Verse 4 and then verse 6 to 7 says, the God who comforts us in all our troubles, so that what? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That's a really telling and profound statement. But then we read on into verses 6 and 7. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, Paul says, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Paul's focus here, even out of loss and grief, even in the midst of troubles, is what? It's not simply self-focused, it's others-focused. And the temptation and the trap is that when we go through experiences in life that are not what we'd want them to be, we bunker down and we become we insulate ourselves from others, we become self-focused in that. But in the journey of life and faith that we're all on, we are better together. Events of recent years have, it seems to me, made what was already there in our individualistic and isolationist culture. And that's the reality of the culture that we live in. It tends towards individualism. It tends towards isolationism. But the last couple of years and all that's unfolded have probably made that more pronounced. Whereas what God calls us to is to develop the important place of community in life and faith. That's what God created us for. God created us not to be islands, not to be isolated, not to be insulated, no matter what our experience is in life and faith, but to be better together, to be a part of community. And what Paul makes clear here is that just as we are able to receive God's comfort and God's compassion through times of trouble or loss or grief in life and faith, we are also able to reflect that into the lives of others. When God comforts us, it shouldn't just stop there, but it should flow out to others along the pathway of life and faith with whom we should be sharing community. God calls us to be channels, all of us, that give out, not just containers that take in. Say it again. Channels that give out, not just containers that take in. And as one of our values says, we are contributors, not consumers. And that applies to every area of our life and faith, including the troubles, including the challenges, including the aspects of life, of loss and grief, because no experience of life is wasted in God's purposes. Remember what God can do through you out of that. Not just what God does in you, but what God can do through you and how you can be an encouragement or a blessing or a comfort or someone who comes alongside others in community out of even your own difficult experience. As I close, loss and grief, troubles can come in different ways in life and faith. And these things can be personal and they can be profound. They can be painful. And I don't know your situation fully. I know some of your situations, but I don't know all of your situations fully. You don't know all of my situation fully. But God does. And I know that God's word and God's work speaks into every real life situation. So I want to invite us to prayerfully sit before God in these moments as we close now with our own sense of trouble or loss or grief in life or faith, and to be attentive to the significant things that God's word speaks into that or God's work by his Spirit is inviting you to reflect on and remember. Word.